This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because mm-hmm. they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning to you, Doug Gottlieb, Dan Beyer, the whole crew in for Dan. Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. I can still say Merry Christmas. I know it's a day after Christmas. We've done this before, filling in, and even on my show, which is, it's not like The Price is Right now. Like, you can go a day over and still say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. Hope you had a great day. Dan, you, like me, gigantic sports fan. Did you have a great day with your with your family yesterday?
Yes, it was magnificent. I did feel bad on how much I was glued to the TV of the NFL action at some point. Most of my wife's side of the family really doesn't care about sports, or at least the NFL. So there was a little guilt factor in there. But I thought the games provided us with a lot of great drama, a lot of great excitement, and yeah, Christmas was great in our household.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you got just enough NFL football. Matter of fact, the game that was, you know, that you built up what you thought would be the best game was the worst game, was the least competitive of the games. And oh yeah, by the way, we also had NBA basketball, which was just incredibly overshadowed by the NFL. It'll be interesting to see, you know, next year as Christmas works back midweek, if the NBA can kind of take back Christmas Day, if you will. I'm sure there were bowl games. Nobody cares about bowl games anymore unless you are a complete degenerate, right? Because you don't know who
there
plays.
There weren't. Them. There was nothing yesterday, so we were good yesterday.
I meant over the weekend, yeah. Though. Like today's a Tuesday. People checked out Friday, right?
I know. There were some on, there were none on Christmas Eve because of the full NFL slate. So they wrapped up the Hawaii Bowl, I believe, was the last one on Saturday night.
Speaking of, like, doesn't the full NFL slate on Sunday. Matter of fact, there were games on Saturday as well. They feel like ages ago.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
Ages ago. Like Mason Rudolph and the Pittsburgh Steelers. When did that happen? Last month? Last year?
The no. Rams beating the Saints feels like it was last year.
It and really
that was,
does.
That was the Thursday was that week night
one?
Game.
Was that week one?
Yeah.
Was that what that was?
Oh.
All right, let's get to what we got to start with, which is the last thing we saw were the two best teams we saw, and it was a debacle for the Niners. I don't think that's crazy. That'd be the one. That's embarrassing considering how many of us had heaped so much praise on this team overall, and how many will go to the mattresses for Brock Purdy as MVP. And look, bad games happen. They're not all his fault, but dude, that was a complete clunker. A complete clunker. Four interceptions. And then Sam Darnold comes in, throws a touchdown, throws a pick of his own late. Five total interceptions. So, of course, now the odds towards the MVP, if you care about that thing, flip. And by the way, with the Cowboys, again, the Cowboys loss was the night before, right, to the Miami Dolphins. We need to get that with the Eagles win. Okay, so the Eagles kind of still hanging around for home field. And the Niners now letting us know that they're beatable. But the big thing was the four interceptions from the quarterback. Here's Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the Niners, summing up the loss.
I thought our defense came out ready to go, and we're doing a decent job, and they only can do it for so long. I thought the way we were struggling on offense in the third quarter led to some missed tackles. I think we gave five first downs on penalties today. Saw all that happen, so no, I'm not going to sit and say they're demoralized or anything. We weren't very balanced throughout our whole team today.
Here's Kyle Shanahan on the five turnovers and the lack of production with the run.
You know, I thought we came out hard, ready to go, you know, offense, defense, special teams. But, you know, for that first half, when you have those three turnovers and you do those things and you miss some opportunities and you're down 16-12, you got not much to show for. I thought we blew a bunch of opportunities in that first half. In the second half, when, you know, that third quarter was a rough one, and then unraveled after that. So anytime you got five turnovers, over 100 yards and penalties, that's how it should be.
Well, okay, so let's get into this, Dan, because yeah. I think there is a Lamar discussion, and the game became a blowout late. But if you watched that game, and I know you did, it wasn't like he was really sharp to start the game. And I thought the Niners' defense was excellent. I thought the Ravens, you talk about not taking advantage of opportunities, they could really do very little with all those extra opportunities. I mean, the fact you have three first-half turnovers and you're only down four kind of shows that the Ravens weren't able to run away and hide. But instead of making it about the Ravens, how much of this is a bad game? How much of it is Brock Purdy's ceiling for you?
Yeah, this is obviously it was a bad game. But this is part of the problem, I think, that with the NFL is not that the Niners were bum slayers because they handled the Cowboys with ease. They, you know, went to Philadelphia, dominated them. But when you get a defense like this, and there are very few in the National Football League, Doug, that have what Baltimore does and will hit you in the mouth, somewhat similar to even what the 49ers can do. That's different. And that's why, you know, your point about using it of a debacle for the 49ers, it's a hard word. It's a heavy word. But it may be apropos because I think it took a bit of the invincibility shield off of them. And then when you go to Brock Purdy and you think of just the plays that the Ravens were making, you're right. It was a close game. The Niners defense, I think, does have issues, but there was a sense of maybe bending don't break because they were put in such awful situations. And Brock Purdy last night just never closed a gap that the 49ers needed to close because of how much the Ravens were better than they were last night. And I think that's what was so, you know, the thing that shines the most. You know, you're right. Lamar wasn't pinpoint perfect last night. But some of the plays that he made when they needed to, you know, third down scrambles, avoiding the rush, yeah, man, it's a different story. You're right.
Look, and this has been my point, okay, to all the Brock Purdy truthers out there, if you will, right? Which is, I'm not saying he's not playing great up until obviously yesterday, and I'm not saying he's not a starting caliber quarterback. He's good. And look, part of it is the NFL misses on guys. They just do. You know, you missed on Tom Brady to some level. You missed on Joe Montana. We go through and, you know, you can say they missed on Jalen Hurts, although I do think that some of the flaws of Jalen Hurts this year show you why he was a second-round pick and by many people's boards a third-round pick. Like, look, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, but it wasn't like people were screaming like, hey, how come you haven't taken Brock Purdy yet? You know, we saw him at Iowa State. If you watched, he was good, and he lifted that program early in his career to heights that no one expected. But then when people expected things of him, he did not have a good year last year. Did not have a great year last year, which is kind of what this is. Like, if you expect him to play at an elite level for a long period of time in the NFL, one, based upon his lack of experience, he's probably not ready. And then two, like, that's just a different level of football. I can't explain it any other way. And the NBA is probably the greatest example. You know, we see things change so dramatically in the playoffs, but sometimes there's these big NBA games. It's like the Linsanity thing, right? It's like for 2 weeks, Jeremy Lin dominated the NBA. And I'll never forget this. Right? You remember the game that really ended Linsanity?
No. What was it?
Went to Miami and they played the Heat. And I only remember it because my buddy Matt Holiday was in spring training. He's like, hey, do you know anybody with some tickets? Finally, we got around to get him two tickets. It was a hotter ticket than the NBA Finals. He said Floyd Mayweather walked in with like seven other dudes and sat, and like seven bodyguards and sat in the front row holding a lot of cash. Like it was a who's who. And, you know, it was like the Heat, it was almost like what Jordan and Pippen did to Tony Kukoc in the first Olympic Games thing, right? It's like the Heat were picking on Jeremy Lin, like, we're going to end this thing right now. It's just a different level of basketball. That's what this is. Now, I think he can play. But I also think that what you see from Lamar Jackson just has a cheat code with the athleticism. And he has he's got some skilled dudes. But, like, what is the cheat code? It's his accuracy. But he has to guess and guess early. And the Kyle Hamilton interception, the first interception, is the perfect example of that. You know, Aikman kind of gave a pass. It's like, well, when it's your third read, like, no, it's pretty easy, actually, even to the layman, Troy. You know that. Right, as soon as he gets released by the linebacker, that's when you hit him. But part of that is when you're having to process and guess instead of, you know, being so quick and so reactive and having just a laser cannon of an arm to sneak it in there. So last week, Niners fans drugged me because I said, hey, I thought there's about 15 quarterbacks in the NFL that could, at least 15 quarterbacks that could do what he's done this season because it's such an incredible roster. And I keep being told that I'm wrong, and yet when you're out without McCaffrey, without Trent Williams, the picks become a problem. And then last night in a standalone game when a very good defense gets a chance to prepare, and again, like, not everyone is on him, but at some point they're on him. And four is a gigantic number. Yeah. And it wasn't like they were marching up and down the field and they were, you know, tip balls in the end zone. Like, nah, that's not what happened. They looked, with the exception of that, a couple of McCaffrey runs and a couple of completions, they looked like a shell of themselves against the Niners defense, against the Ravens defense.
The four interceptions that he threw were all completely different. There was the one that was the least of his fault was when his arm was hit when he was throwing. Right. That nothing you could do about that one.
The line wasn't great last night.
That's not his fault. The one that he threw on the deflection that Hamilton picked off after the scramble shows, you know, we raved about Brock Purdy throwing across his body and stuff like that. But that was a play where he was under pressure last night, then ended up forcing a ball. Bad decision. That's his fault. You talked about the first one of the read that Hamilton got near the end zone. Bad read. The one that I point out to was when it was early second quarter, and he was just throwing a little out pass to Debo, and the blitzing corner came in and deflected it. This was the problem with the Purdy argument, is in those Eagles games, when you're throwing the ball out into the flat, and you give it to Debo, and Debo runs 50 yards. It looks like it's a 50-yard touchdown pass from Purdy. Last night, the only reason why that play doesn't work is because Brock Purdy did not throw the ball where it needed to be. That's it. That's plain and simple. And that, so you have all these interceptions, and if you want to break it down and give him a pass, if he catches, Debo catches that ball and takes it to the house, Doug, we're saying to ourselves, man, what a job by Brock Purdy. But he was the only one that couldn't mess up what he did. And he did in that instance, and it ended up costing him.
With Dan Byram, Doug Gottlieb, Stan Patrick Show here, Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so does this change your outlook in the NFC?
In the NFC, no. Because I don't think that there's another team that can play defense like the Ravens. I don't know there's another team in the NFL that can play defense like the Ravens against the Niners, to be perfectly honest with you. As a whole, yes. In the NFC, no. I don't think that Dallas, I think Dallas has got bigger issues. I think Philadelphia has got issues. This is a Giants team that they dominated, and they should have dominated yesterday. They completely let them back into the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot with them there. And it feels like the Tommy DeVito era maybe over there as well.
And the Niners, by the way, still hold the tiebreaker for the best record. All three teams, 11-4 right now, Lions, Eagles, and 49ers. So if San Francisco wins out, Commanders and Rams, their final two games, they'll have home field in the first round bye. So that's why it doesn't change.
And I guess Kyle Hamilton's knee is okay, but man, I mean, that Ravens defense is so nasty. Man, were they flying around there. That was, I know that the Niners have had some offensive line issues at times, but I mean, they couldn't do anything with that defense. Holy cow. That's an impressive group. Huh. And like we said, it's a different level of football. So it feels bigger and it feels even more dominant. Now, so what you're saying is in the scenario that the Niners play the Ravens in the Super Bowl, that changes your perspective, but not in the NFC.
Correct. I still think that the Niners, as bad as the Chiefs lost, and they've got a lot of issues. Maybe there's something in Kansas City. Who knows? I don't think the Dolphins could match up with the Niners, but yeah, in the NFC, nothing's changed.
That's how big that game was last night. I mean, Kansas City loses at home to the Raiders. The Cowboys lose to the Dolphins, and right now, I'm like, we'll get to that, but the Ravens-Niners game was at that level of hype, that level of game, and the buildup of this long, long, long Christmas weekend, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, into Monday, gave us so many thoughts going into the next week in the NFL. Speaking of it, Lamar Jackson took time to go at Mike Florio. Over what? You'll find out next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray, depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. I'm Doug Gottlieb, joined by Dan Beyer. My man Jason Stewart is back on the mend. Jason, how are you?
Good morning, Doug. Good morning, Dan.
We'll get into your journey upcoming in the show, I'm sure. Jeff Schwartz is going to join us here in about 5-10 minutes. There's so much I want to get to. Let's just kind of put a cap on that Ravens-Niners game, if you will, from the other side, which is Lamar Jackson taking a little bit of a victory lap. Did you see, Dan, you and I both pretty active on social media, did you see Lamar Jackson's is it GIF or JIF? I don't know. Like, I think it's actually GIF, but everybody pronounces it JIF, so we'll just go with JIF.
It's
whichever.
Fine with me.
Yeah,
all good.
Whatever. To Florio's, they're going to kick the Niners are going to kick the you know what out of everyone, including the Ravens.
No, I missed this. I missed it. I did not see it.
That was a beaut, Clark.
Do we have audio? Do we have audio?
We do have some audio as well, but he also posted some. Here's Lamar Jackson.
Post game talking about Mike Flores.
Yeah, because we're in the NFL. We play ball, you know. Not a takeaway from that team, but you can't just discredit us. We grown men. We got to feed our family. And he can have his opinion, but just don't be just talking like that. You know, that's disrespectful. That's very disrespectful. But no, not a takeaway from the 49ers at all, because, like, they're great all across the board. But we going to come to play as well. You know, our record not no fluke, you know. We play ball, and we showed that, you know. But he just need to just keep doing his job, but just don't just come off like that towards us. You know, that's disrespectful, like I said, because he ain't putting them pads on, you know. If he ain't putting them pads on, I feel like it would have been different for him. He wouldn't say that. He'd be respectful, you know. But because I say that to say this, you know, we respectful to our opponents. Our opponents were respectful to us. But a guy who not even playing against us just come out just, you know, just being disrespectful. I guess he wanted more views on his little channel. We're going to leave it at that.
So, like, look, I get it. You know, everybody says you're going to lose, and the way in which he said it, it's over the top. It's kind of theater, you know, it's kind of a little bit very theatrical, you know.
Yeah.
But can we get over the he's never put pads on, he's being disrespectful? You're picking a game.
He did use profanity in saying it. That does cross. I think that does cross a line. All right. I mean,
well, it did feel like, well, I mean, I don't know if it crossed the line. It feels very forced. You know, it's like, oh my God, we're on a podcast. I can say a bad word.
Isn't it like the battle of comedians? Like, if you can do it clean instead of blue, there's like three more levels of betterness to it.
That's the beauty to Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
I always actually thought that was. The genius to Stern was when he was on terrestrial radio, getting away with, and I don't know how he got away with the stuff he got away with, but getting away with the most he could without crossing that line, whereas now there's no line to be crossed. He just says whatever he wants to say. But, yeah, I don't look at it, the profanity. Like, grown-ups, it was weird coming out of Florio, but I didn't, you know, I don't know, like, picking against the team to get, you know, to call a blowout. Because otherwise, what do you get? You get all these milquetoast, like, well, I think it's going to be close, and I'm respectful of the Ravens, respect the Ravens. It'll be really close, and by a small amount, the Niners will win the game. Like, no, he thought it was going to be an ass-whooping, and it wasn't. He was wrong. Now he's got to eat it all week.
Kick the crap doesn't suffice. He had to go next level.
It's like Kobe used to do that late in his career sometimes.
Yeah.
To get your attention, just drop it in it. People do that now. And drop in an F-bomb or an S-bomb, and then they act like they're surprised. Like, you know you're not supposed to say it. But this is where Lamar's right. You do say it for more attention. Let's welcome in Jeff Schwartz, who joins us. Of course, he's got his Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than Us podcast. He joins us now in the Dan Patrick Show. Schwartzy, good morning to you. Merry everything. Happy New Year. The tree was out at the street at what time yesterday?
10:15 a.m. I think my wife's out of town. I had to do it myself. She requested it. Her first text yesterday was, "Please take the tree out for me." So I got it done. Yeah, 12:15.
There's a lot of amazing things. The backstory to that, you can look that one up online. Okay, what does yesterday's performance say to you about Brock Purdy and the Niners?
I think it continues maybe the idea that, you know, they sort of have not one way to win, but if they get behind, they're just not going to win, right? I mean, that's not the biggest problem. If you stay ahead of the chains, if you stay ahead in games, you're going to win most of them. We've seen that. But I think now it's been proven that, like, you're just not coming back if you're behind. You sort of have to, again, not win one specific way, because they can win different ways. But if you are behind in the fourth quarter with Purdy, you're probably not coming back to win that game. And that's not the best spot to be in the postseason, because, of course, you're playing good football teams and you might be down by 10 points in the fourth quarter. That happens. It's football. Can you make the, you know, can you come from behind? Look, the interceptions, three of them were tips, I think. I mean, it wasn't like his fault per se. I mean, I don't think that's the biggest takeaway from this game. It was the takeaway is the Ravens defense, I think, was very active, right? Hands all over the place, getting after Brock Purdy. But not all other teams can do that. So that's not really a blueprint. I mean, can the Lions do that if they play the Niners in the postseason? No. So I don't think that's the blueprint per se. So I think that it just reinforces the idea that, you know, they sort of have one way to win. The biggest concern for me, though, are injuries, because we've seen this team, when they lose a piece or two, the offense is not the same. And a lot of teams are like that, but the Niners feel even more top-heavy than a lot of them. And, you know, how's Trent Williams' health going to be? How's Brock Purdy's health? If things are not perfect health-wise, this team is just not as good. So that's sort of my takeaway. I think they're still a favorite in the NFC. But if they go to Philly or they go to Detroit, let's say, or obviously they can host all their playoff games, they get behind, you know, 10 points in the third quarter, they're not really built to come from behind. And I think that's the biggest concern I have.
Are they as tough as we think? I mean, I know it's difficult seeing the toughness of the team that was on the other sideline, but was that at all exposed last night with the Niners?
I don't think so. I didn't look at that game and think they were out tough. You know, look, a couple tips go their direction, and Ravens don't pick those balls off, then we have a different game, right? So I didn't look at that game as being out tough. I think their defensive line and their defense last couple weeks has been rushed on. I don't think it's a toughness factor. I don't ever look at them and think, oh, they're not tough enough, but I certainly think there's a blueprint out now to where you can run the football on them. Remember, their defensive line did not play as well for the first 8 weeks, and then they had a bye, and they sort of got better. Maybe teams are figuring out now, look, man, if we just try to run the football on them, we make that a focal point of what we want to do, that they're more beatable. I don't look at it as a toughness factor, but we got to stop the run better if we head into the postseason.
Jeff Schwartz joining us here on the Dan Patrick Show. Dan Byer, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, and foxsportsradio.com. Okay, let's get to the late Sunday night game with the Cowboys and the Dolphins. What did we learn more about the Dolphins or about the ceiling for Dak and the Cowboys?
I'm going to learn more about the Dolphins, right? I mean, to win a game the way they did without playing your A game is something the Dolphins really needed. Like, they didn't play their A game on offense. They played an okay game on offense. But to win without your A game on offense is a huge confidence boost for them. And I think that will propel them into being more confident as an entire team heading the postseason. One thing that's not being talked about enough, Jalen Ramsey came back for the Dolphins week 8. They played the Patriots. He picked off Mac Jones. They played the Chiefs next week. Since that game, their defense has been drastically better. I believe the 20 points they allowed to the Cowboys were the second most they've allowed in any game since he's been back. Like, they have been very good on defense. So when you add in the defense being better, the offense being confident and sort of playing and winning a game where they didn't have their best, they probably feel pretty good about themselves. The Cowboys, I think, are who they are. You know, when Teron Smith is out on offense, they're just not as good. They had some errors at left tackle. Dak leading that drive there at the end of the game was, I think, beneficial for his confidence. But they sort of are who they are. I think the Dolphins winning that game a little bit ugly on offense will, and their defense playing really well, will bode very well for their confidence heading the postseason.
What about the Chiefs? Maybe if it wasn't for the 49ers-Ravens game last night, we'd be talking about how a team could lose to another team that didn't complete a pass for the final three quarters of the game. What, I mean, how does this happen in Kansas City?
the Chiefs outscored the Raiders 14-6, right? Both the Raiders scored 6 points, Chiefs scored 14. The Chiefs just aren't good. You know, there's many reasons for that.
Are they good, or are they just not Chiefs good?
I don't know how you can argue they're even good right now. I mean, they can't line up correctly on offense. I mean, like, they're doing simple things incorrectly. Can't line up on offense. Don't get the plays in quick enough. Bad penalty. The second play of the game, yeah, these plays are scripted, okay? Now, not every down and distance, but for the most part, normal down and distances, they're scripted. Andy Reid does a great job of it. Second play of the game, they had a broken play. I don't know what happened, just a broken play. Then they get up 7-3, finally, like it works, get up 7-3, force a punt. And the first thing you do is this trick play. I've watched this play 25 times now. I have no idea what they were trying to do. None of it makes sense. Fumble, Raiders hit the ball back. Interception, Raiders score a touchdown. I mean, they just are not playing good football. Defensively, they're playing well, and then eventually they kind of, at the end there, broke, and that's what happens. You play defense well for a while, hard to play defense well for 60 minutes, you break at the end. The offense is just a mess. There's many reasons for it. You know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't trust anyone outside of Kelsey. Kelsey's lost a step this season. No one gets open against man coverage. No one gets open deep. There's the Chiefs wide receiver group has a lack of awareness that we have not seen in Kansas City in a long time. They don't understand where to stop in the zone. They don't understand scramble drill. They don't understand, you know, where to sort of be on the field at any given moment. And Mahomes is used to playing a little bit out of structure where, okay, the route is called for this, but the defense is different. Go kind of find the defense. I'll throw you the ball there. They don't have that this season. So it's just a big mess. And look, we keep saying every week, oh, they'll figure it out next week. They're not going to. This is what they are this year. They'll have a home playoff game, presumably, if they win one more game this year. And they're probably going to lose the Bills in that game. And really have to regroup this offseason, find new wide receivers, maybe find some new offensive coaching, and get ready for 2024.
You know, it's interesting, Jeff, that how much we talk around the Kelsey thing. So here's the question. Is it because he's 34, or is it because of the Taylor Swift thing? I mean, like, I don't care who comes to your games. Okay, yeah. I don't. It's not that. It's more of more distracting to watch than it is. But yeah. He is not as dominant physically as he had previously been.
Yeah.
Is it age or is it other stuff?
Well, I think what happens with his age is that he entered the season injured. If you remember, he hurt his knee in practice before the Lions game, and so he started the season hurt. And when you get to 34 years old, with the amount of snaps that he has played, you enter the season hurt. You're just never going to be 100%. I think it's very fair to say that that's sort of the cause of this. Now, obviously, you know, having a famous girlfriend, Tony Romo kept calling him his wife. I don't know why, but I mean, like, it's just weird. He's like his wife, and Jim was like, I don't know about that. Look, it looks worse, obviously. I think there's a part of Travis Kelce, like all athletes, when they get to a certain age, where they start thinking about the next career move.
Yeah.
That's not at all a bad thing. We all get to a point of our career, we think about the next thing. And obviously, his podcast is going great. He's very personable. Like, he'll find a job immediately when he's done in retirement. Do I think that's taking away from his prep each week? No. Do I think his physical prep? No. But you get to a certain point of your career when you're older, when you start thinking about sort of the end. And then, of course, when things aren't going as well as they are now, you know, obviously the frustration you see from him and Pat is very real, because there's no way to get out of this funk. In years past, they've been able to get out of it, and they're just not. He's getting double teamed now more than ever before. He's lost a step. I'd imagine he's thinking about, again, I don't know when this retirement's going to happen, maybe 3 years from now, but I guarantee he's thinking about next moves. Again, all athletes do this, not just him. And so I think all those things are happening all at once around a year where he's getting no help. If the Chiefs had two other wide receivers that took away the pressure from Kelce, I think we wouldn't talk about this at all. But so much attention is on him because he's not getting as open as he has in the past. He's clearly just not as quick as he has been in the past, that all the attention is going toward why is this happening now? It's natural. The problem is no one else on his team is helping him pick it up.
You know, it's funny that you say that about the wide receivers, because I think that's we've all wanted to know who's going to replace Tyreek Hill. Have they dropped the ball in figuring out who's going to replace Travis Kelce, even though he's still on the team? Would we be shocked if he walked away after this season completely and said, all right, I want to go off and do all this other stuff? And now the cupboard's even more bare. I just, that was the sense that I got last night, is you spent all this time in trying to find a wide receiver, and maybe Rashee Rice is that guy. But once Travis Kelce leaves, it's another security blanket that's gone.
So I talked about this before the draft last year. It was a very tight end heavy draft, and we're seeing it so far with Laporta obviously having a big year in year one. Kincaid in Buffalo. I mean, there's guys that are, you know, Mayer's been hurt in Vegas, but you could see that like there's been great tight ends. It was a great year for tight ends. I thought they should have taken a tight end in round one instead of a defensive end that hasn't really played very much, because I think they should have sort of seen this coming at some point. And the tight end is so important to what Patrick Mahomes does and what the Chiefs' offense can be that I thought it would have been prudent for them to do that. Now, look, I don't know. I haven't looked at the draft class this year. Maybe there's a tight end, but they have to fix wide receiver first. So last year would have been the year that to fix tight end and then go and get yourself, a wide receiver this year. But they have to do that now. So they can't really draft a tight end early in the draft, in my opinion. But, yeah, I mean, I think Noah Gray is supposed to be the Kelce replacement. But let's be fair. Look, there's no replacing Travis Kelce. Like, you're not going to get it one for one.
Sure.
Can you get someone that Mahomes trusts? Yes, but the offense is going to change. You're going to have an offense that's more reliant on in-structure plays, right? Like, it's reliant on scheme. And, again, when you have a wide receiver core that can – spread the field apart, your tight end will be more open, right? Like, if you get someone else in there, you should have more success if your wide receivers are better. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to walk away after this year. I don't imagine he'd walk away after a year when it didn't go as well. But I can certainly see that being something he's thinking about next couple of years.
The Eagles, they won, yay! But up two touchdowns, you let the Giants get behind you. You got some really bizarre plays. I mean, then Jalen Hurts ended the first half. What is he doing? Get out of bounds. Do we walk away thinking the Eagles are better, are fixed, are the same? I walk away scratching my head at why the Eagles aren't better right now.
I think same as the Chiefs. Like, they are who they are at this point. We've seen 16 weeks of football, and so you look at all these teams through your expectations, right? And the Eagles set a standard last season of, the way that they played the game, right? They won in the trenches. They won with their pass rush. Jalen Hurts was incredible. Remember, he was going to win the MVP before he got hurt. They ran the ball well. He limited mistakes. And this season, we're sort of backtracking into, okay, not quite as good up front this season, not rushing the passer as well. Now, defense each year, guys, for the most part, outside of like New England and maybe Pittsburgh, it tends to fluctuate, right? Like, one year good, one year not as good, one year good again. Like, it's just so to rely on the Eagles pass rush each and every year to be the thing that they do well, it's tough to rely on that. So the mistakes are being made a little bit at a higher frequency. They can't rush the passer as well, and they're allowing obviously a lot of yards after the catch and some deep passes. So all those things are happening all at once. It happens. So they're just not as good this season. They're just not as good. They're not as crisp, not as good on defense, and not as good in the trenches. They're still very good. They're going to finish 13-4, most likely. Arizona and the Giants the last two games. So it's not a terrible season, but the expectations were so high when you look at the way they played last year, the way they lost the Super Bowl, returning most of your team. I think it's very clear that Shane Steichen was a lost offensive coordinator. They had to basically fire their defensive coordinator to go to Matt Patricia a couple weeks ago. So it's just not as crisp. It's not as good. And I came away from that game thinking the same thing I have. Like, they should have blown the Giants out. They had 14 points. The Giants were dead in the water. The Giants benched Tommy DeVito. By the way, marketing Hall of Fame. I mean, he uses 15 minutes of fame to, like, the best of ability of any athlete I've ever seen. And they're not as crisp this season. But look, the Niners have a little bit of warts. The Lions, can't win a game, I don't think, outside with Jared Goff in bad weather and cold weather. Like, everyone sort of has their thing in the NFC. There's no team I feel like I can put money in right now. They're going to win the NFC.
Jeff Schwartz, of course, played O-line for 8 years. You can hear him on Fox Sports Radio's on weekends. He's got his podcast, Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. Schwartzy, you're the best. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
Doug Gottlieb, Dan Byer in for Dan and the Danettes here on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. How are we going to look back at the Tommy DeVito era with the Giants? We'll get into that next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
It's the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Did you know that Discover wants everyone to feel special? That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 customer service, as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. Dan Byer alongside, so too is our guy Jason Stewart. Jeff Schwartz got into a little bit where genius marketing with the Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets. I mean, that thing was fun for 15 minutes, but it literally is over, right? Tyrod Taylor comes in and plays better last night or yesterday, depending on where you're watching it. But, man, those things, I mean, that is as classic a backup quarterback tale as ever, where you're like, who is this guy? He stinks. Oh, my God. Then he plays good. Like, wait, you know what? We may have a guy better than Daniel Jones. Oh, I love this guy. What? He's Italian? What? He lives in his mom's basement? I love this story. And they're like, DeVito stinks. That's why he was third-string quarterback.
Yeah, this is – and I think there's a bigger story here, Doug. I think that the story for the Giants, who obviously really didn't have anything to play for. I mean, the first half of the season really couldn't have been worse for how it started, and it rarely got better. It only got better when Tommy DeVito ended up winning a game against the Washington Commanders. A game, by the way, that Washington turned the football over 6 times, okay? So it wasn't the Tommy DeVito success story. It was the Commanders not holding on to the football. And the crazy thing about this, and this is why I think it's interesting. The Giants were better last night with Tyrod Taylor in a quarterback, right? It was pretty obvious.
Because Tyrod Taylor is better than Tommy DeVito.
Correct. Then why wasn't Tyrod Taylor starting against the Green Bay Packers 2 weeks ago when he came off of IR? Why wasn't he starting against the New Orleans Saints? Why wasn't he starting against the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday?
Well, I mean, obviously, if we don't know when he comes off of IR, we don't know how healthy he was.
Right? He was the backup. He was the backup in the.
I understand. Yeah. Again, but like I would assume at first he wasn't healthy, and then it's like, are we going to pull this kid when he's playing well? But it's the old when water finds its level, and I think that's my fear with the Brock Purdy thing. Is it's not going to be like the DeVito thing where you can't play him, but it's the lots of we've seen a lot of different NFL quarterbacks give us a half year, a year. Sometimes we've seen unbelievable year long performances, and then people figure them out. You know, it's the ability to do it. What makes Pat Mahomes great is not all the comeback wins or any of the Super Bowls. It's since he's been the starting quarterback, they've never finished their season any earlier than the AFC Championship game. It's a level of consistency, right? And, I mean, that was the thing with Brady is, yeah, the Patriots were never – they were never bad, ever. Yes, you could say, well, the division was this, the division – it doesn't matter. If they play a first-place schedule every year, they were never bad, ever. And so that's – you bring up a good point. I don't know – I haven't tracked – exactly. I would guess it's because they thought he was playing well. You play out the string.
This is where I think the catch is. The numbers weren't bad enough to pull him. Okay. He played all right. He didn't turn the football over. Against New England, they were gifted a lot. New England turned the ball over three times. Packers were a mess on special teams in that. But hey, he had 71 yards rushing. I think the Giants completely played into this hype. Because on what planet is Tommy DeVito the better option than Tyrod Taylor? And I don't think that planet exists. And that's where I think for a team that probably would benefit from losing, why not play into it? It was a story. I mean, like, truly, it took over the NFL for a week or two. Was it at the expense of maybe winning football games? You know, I don't know. Maybe they don't beat the Saints, but they were a heck of a lot better against with Taylor and last night against the Eagles than with DeVito.
They win the game if he plays the whole game.
Maybe so. And DeVito was awful when he first came in, but it wasn't his fault because he was, you know, thrown to the wolves. Had a nice stretch there. The rating is high. The yardage isn't enormous. It's just the point of I feel that the Giants just leaned into it maybe a little bit more because of the story, because of what was going on. When you had Tyrod Taylor available, maybe he would have been the better option if you wanted to win football games.
I think it's totally fair. It's totally fair. But heck, I bought in the story. I love the story.
Yeah, we all did.
It was impossible not to like the story. It's just like it's impossible not like the Brock Purdy story. Or we saw Taylor Heinicke play pretty well for the Falcons, right? They got a big win over the weekend. It's like, man, Taylor Heinicke, I loved him when he was with Washington. Like, why did they ever get rid of him? You know, but those guys, and there's different levels of ceiling. Heinicke played well. And I remember watching him in the playoffs against Tom Brady, even when they shook hands. Like, Tom Brady's like 6'5 and good looking. Taylor Heinicke's like 5'11. He comes up, I'm a Mr. Brady. Can I shake your hand?
This was the whole, hey, DeVito. This yes. is what, that's what that was all about, though.
Of
that
course.
Was a whole nother level.
It was Jersey. It made sense.
Yeah.
No question.
Lost season, I think they found value, and that's why they continue to stick with him.
That's fair. Coming up next on the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio, how the Raiders beat the Chiefs. We'll get to that next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.